putting together supply and demand. That's what it's all about. But people wanting that rare item lean more and more on person-to-person exchanges.
And what we realized when we moved several times is there is no good, convenient way to sell vintage and designer furniture. Now, the Craigslist, you get very little consignment shops. If you're fortunate enough for them to take it, you don't get very much out of it. There's not a really liquid marketplace. And so we said, wouldn't it be great if we could solve that problem, if we could make it easy for people to sell their furniture so they get exactly what they want? It's a fun mission. It's actually a surprisingly big industry. Mm. And so we started Cherish to see if we could solve that problem.
This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a co-creator of Cherish, a P2P marketplace for people who love fine design.
Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. Let's say right now you're sitting in an original Rosewood Eames lounge chair and you're just not feeling it anymore. You don't want it. Now, first, you're probably going through an existential and unrelated crisis because those chairs are forever dope. Second, if you really want to sell it, you're kind of limited because if you put it on Craigslist, few are going to appreciate what you have. And if you go to the consignment store, well, that revenue sharing model does not really work in your favor. Enter a high-minded, elegant solution via a startup mobile app that is person-to-person, matching supply and demand one transaction at a time. Here's my chat with Cherish.
Greg Brockway, I'm the chairman and co-founder of Cherish.
Yeah, Cherish. Let's start there with your announcement that you had this week, because VR, virtual reality, AR, augmented reality, something we cover here occasionally because it's coming at us a lot faster than we anticipated. And I'm wondering what your application is for it. So we'll go finite first. I know we talked about going broad. We're going to go finite first and then back it out. Okay. So what did you launch this week?
Sure. So put it in context. Cherish is the largest marketplace selling furniture, home decor, and art. And one of the things we hear regularly from people is it looks great on the computer. It looks great on the phone. How's it going to look in my room? And so this week we announced a new feature for our mobile app using augmented reality to answer that exact question. So the way it works is very simple. You see something you like. It's a rug. It's a piece of art. It's a pendant. You can see it through your phone's camera and project it right onto your actual space. And so it really solves that problem of, will this thing fit in my room in a unique and exciting way. So that's a great practical example of what's known as augmented reality.
Right. And, you know, that was the barrier to entry early on, you know, for online shopping, really. This is before the age of free returns. So when you took that risk, let's say on Amazon or something else, and you had something delivered to your house 10 years ago, you had to worry that it was going to, quote unquote, fit, right?
That's exactly it. It's a much higher risk purchase. Furniture and home decor is a higher risk purchase because if you don't like it, you can't simply hide it in your closet. It's out for everybody to see. And so that's one of the reasons why, as an industry, furniture and home decor has been slower to migrate online than some other categories like travel and fashion. But we think technology is a great opportunity to change that, and it's a great way for people to get more confident in making better purchases in the home space. When you can see things and how they actually fit in your home, you have a lot more confidence in pulling the trigger and actually making the purchase and getting exactly what you want. And that's really the most important thing.
You know, there's contextual search, and now there's contextual placement of interiors.
It's moving quickly. I mean, what we did this week was a relatively simple implementation. You see something, if you like it, you can see it in your space. But this is really just, I think, the beginning of blending, you know, digital and real world in exciting and in new ways.
Well, let's back out of the tech a little bit and go into the business part of it. You've been a co-founder several times now. Tell me a little bit about the origin story for Cherish.
Yeah, Cherish. So actually, my wife and I and two friends started the business almost 4 years ago now, and it came out of a very simple personal experience. My wife is a interior design fanatic. She knows every consignment shop, flea market up and down the West Coast, and our house is full of these things. And what we realized when we moved several times is there is no good, convenient way to sell vintage and designer furniture. Now, the Craigslist, you get very little consignment shops. If you're fortunate enough for them to take it, you don't get very much out of it. There's not a really liquid marketplace. And so we said, wouldn't it be great if we could solve that problem, if we could make it easy for people to sell their furniture so they get exactly what they want? It's a fun mission. It's actually a surprisingly big industry. Mm. And so we started Cherish to see if we could solve that problem. We've learned a lot. We made a lot of mistakes along the way. It's finally really starting to take off. And so, we figured out the business side of it, but we've also started to apply technology in smart ways to try and solve the problem and make it easier for people to get comfortable buying things online.
So where on the investment curve are you? Are you seed, late seed, early?
We're early. We've raised about $20 million to date over 4 years. So in the grand scheme of Silicon Valley, that's actually a fairly modest amount of money.
Right.
But it's allowed us to hire some really talented technology and business people, and the business is doing quite well. We actually launched a second brand focused on the luxury market late last year called Dacasso, the Decorative Arts Society.
Right. That's the one I saw. I saw Cherish and Dacasso were featured in Architecture Digest. That's a good rag to be in for you guys.
Architectural Digest is, you know, we look at them, they're the most authoritative voice in the industry, and they've been very kind to what we've done. They really like how we're bringing, again, technology to solve some of these problems for interior designers and home decorators.
That's cool. And I don't want to jump too far ahead because I want to celebrate this rollout that you just had. But I'm kind of wondering, like, if you could just scope it out, what's the horizon look like for you as a company? You mentioned earlier, because we got bounced out of another studio, we were talking about a crowd of people. You're growing. So what's maybe the next step for you guys?
We're based here in San Francisco. We are growing very quickly. The furniture home decor market is surprisingly large. Most people don't realize it's a $270 billion industry.
Wow, that is bigger than
So all we are going to be doing is focused on making it easier to buy and sell furniture and home decor for the next couple of years.
Very cool.
It's a lot like travel in the early days. You know, I think technology can really be an enabler to creating a better experience than existed previously. And so as that happens, we expect more and more of the industry to migrate online and as people get more comfortable shopping there.
We're speaking with Greg Brockway. He's a co-founder of Cherish and Dacasso. He's also an angel investor, and I'm looking at one of your profiles here on my screen, and it tells me you're self-declared travel nerd. You just mentioned travel in there, too. Any of your other companies touch travel, or is that just a personal thing?
It's a personal thing. It's also, the first two companies of which I was a co-founder were both in the travel space. So I was fortunate to be a co-founder of Hotwire, the discount travel site.
Oh, yes.
Which has done great. And then later, I started a company called TripIt, which is a mobile travel app.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar with both, actually. Yeah. That's great. A Hotwire I've actually used. I've been a customer before. You also were early on with TaskRabbit as well, right?
I was an investor in TaskRabbit, and I really like marketplaces that are trying to solve, you know, big, interesting problems.
I'm going to ask you a macro question as a co-founder, okay? And I've asked this of several that we've had on the show, and I like the answer because sometimes it comes around in a different way. When you personally approach an opportunity, you see a market opportunity and you want to address it like you just said, is there any thought of exit at any point at the beginning?
For me, no. I know there are people out there who think a lot about where the exit is. I mean, for me, it starts with, is it a big problem? Is it a problem that is worth spending what's likely to be a couple of years trying to solve? And if it is, then, you know, I get excited about it and we'll either invest in it or I've started several companies around that. And if it's not, it's not for me. And I think just because you can start a company doesn't mean you should start a company. And so I think I see a lot of people who get excited about the idea of starting a company, but they don't necessarily tackle problems that are worthy of, you know, several years of their life. So, I mean, when I talk to younger entrepreneurs who are thinking about this, I just say, hey, listen, if you have to be personally passionate about what you're doing because you're likely going to do it for a while. There are these success stories where people come in, they come out and 12, 18, 24 months, but that's very rare. Usually it's a longer-term building process, and the exit will happen if you build a good business, and it's not worth thinking about until you get to that point.
You mentioned, well, we talked about your successes at the top of the interview, and about halfway through we talked about some of the challenges you faced in this most recent company. Is there one of those you could pull out maybe and maybe make it a teachable moment for somebody who might be starting a company? What was one of your takeaways from this most recent venture?
So you're going to make mistakes. We've made a lot of them. The way we started Cherish and the problem we started solving was focusing on individuals. And we said, hey, we will move your furniture out of your house. We'll store it in a warehouse and then we'll sell it. And what we realized fairly quickly was that's a terrible business.
it sounds like backbreaking work.
It's a lot of work. You have to move furniture twice. Moving furniture is incredibly expensive. It will sit in the warehouse
for a long
time.
You could lose friendships over that.
we lost lots of money in the early days.
Yeah.
We had to be very reflective and understand that that was a bad business and change direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being honest with yourself that what you started out to do isn't working is a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's super important before you burn through all your money and don't have time to make that kind of a direction change. So that's one thing we learned. We changed the business. We don't touch the furniture until it actually sells, but we are responsible for helping move it from your home to the to the buyer's home or vice versa.
Wow.
We handle the money. We make sure it's a super easy and simple process. Mm-hmm. We also are trying to do it for a lot less money so that we can afford to charge very little as part of the transaction.
Okay.
Still have a good business.
So frictionless and confidence to fail.
Confidence to change direction.
That's it. Right on. Mr. Brockway, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That was Greg Brockway, co-founder of the interior design marketplace app called Chairish. You spell that C-H-A-I-R-I-S-H. Greg is an angel investor. Also, he got in early with TaskRabbit. There are links to Chairish and all of our podcast links, for that matter, at KGO.com/Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Coming up next, a post-apocalyptic fiction writer with the fourth installment of his series. That's next, so please stick around.